This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Ali Johan on That Music Show and part of our Merdeka celebrations and also still in the mood actually, and we're going to listen to some tunes that were popular in the pre-independent Malaya and also more stuff that were available for the masses post-Merdeka. And I'm joined by someone who I think holds the key to the vault of old Malay music. He's also a music writer, Adli Shairi Ramli. Welcome to the show, man.
Hey, thanks bro for having me.
Our music in the early 50s and 60s, they were pretty much influenced by our colonials at the time. And this is, of course, in the context of band music, what you would call kugiran. Prior to this, we already have existing traditional sounds, the zapins, the inangs, and donang sayang, the Indian raga, and the Chinese orchestral pieces. But the influx of music from the Western world and also how bands started cropping up in the Malay archipelago at the time, that was an interesting period in the musical climate of the country, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you backtrack easily, Malaysian popular music can be traced from 1920s to 30s during the Bangsawan troupe. Mm. And then, of course, there was the Arazmi Momolatif, the first generation of singers who most of the songs were actually from their Bangsawan singers who graduated into like movie singers. Mm. And then I think the turning point was when P. Ramli, because P. Ramli at that point he noticed a gap, because at that time most of the sound were like 100% imported. So what he tried to do was to fuse elements of Inang, Zapin, Masri, Joget with international elements like rumba, slow fox, and then of course the Hindustani and Arabic elements. So
that's what you hear a lot in P. Ramli's stuff, actually, the Hindustani and Arabic elements. And it's interesting that you mentioned Momo Latif, because the song Tudung Periuk that dates back to 1949, apparently it could be the earliest Malay pop song.
Well, it's actually from 1930.
Okay.
So if based on dates, that could be the first Malaya or Malaysia pop song lah.
Okay. Yeah. And we're going to play a clip, but this is not actually the original version by Momo Latif. This is actually a cover version or a reworked version by Saloma and P. Ramli, and this is Tudung Periuk. Hai putra mahkota, hai tudung periuk, tudunglah periuk, hai pandailah menari. Tarianlah anak, tarianlah anak, putra mahkota. Kainlah yang buruk, kainlah yang buruk, hai berilah kami. Buat menyapu, buat menyapu, si air lamada. Kainlah yang buruk, kainlah. Moving to look at the 50s, and one of the biggest names, as you mentioned earlier, is R. Azmi, and he was sort of like the voice of Malay movies in the 50s, kind of like what A.R. Rahman is to modern Bollywood.
True.
A bit of information about R. Azmi. He was born in 1923 in Kuala Kangsa. He comes from a royal family and became sort of like an outcast in the royal family because he did music, and after which he went to Singapore to kickstart his career as a backup singer at the Jalan Ampas studio. And himself as well, the music style that R. Azmi was singing has got a very distinct Hindustani melody as well.
Yeah, and then the other thing about R. Azmi, which many may not know, is the fact that if you listen to his lyrics, I would say he's a punk rocker, because his lyrics are like, he touches like social issues, he touches about infidelity, he touches about a lot of things which I believe is not something you openly discuss back then, you know. So yeah, that's one of the elements that about R. Azmi that I think people should know.
Having said that, I think Amir Mohammad wrote in his book 120 Malay Movies is that the movies back then were much more liberal, so in a way that people were discussing this social ills, if you may, more openly back then than now.
Yeah, definitely, because even I think that is something that has been common in this country until we reach the 80s, I would say. Surprisingly, you know, well, you know, I don't know what happened somewhere along the way, so, but yeah, that's the case.
What sort of singer was R. Azmi to you?
He was the first who actually bridged the gap, you know, who actually like showed to people that, okay, you can actually make pop song, you know, record pop song and stuff. A good example that his lyrics is something that people can relate to, for instance, like Sepuluh Budak Hitam or Dari Kerana Mata. It's satire, but at the same time, it's something that people can relate to. So as an icon, I think he opened the floodgate.
Alright, okay, so we're gonna check out a track by the great R. Azmi, and this one is called Dari Kerana Mata.
Dari kerana mata yang mempunyai kuasa, oh, aku tergoda, aku tergoda, terkecewa. Dari kerana mata yang mempunyai kuasa, oh, aku tergoda, aku tergoda, terkecewa. Dari kerana mata. Dari mata terbitnya asmara, senyum mengurak manikam jiwa, renungan mesra menjelma segera, aku tertawan memendam rasa. Oh, aku tergoda, aku tergoda, terkecewa. Dari kerana mata yang mempunyai kuasa, oh, aku tergoda, aku tergoda, terkecewa. Dari kerana mata. Setiap waktu ku cinta sayang, sinar wajahmu selalu terbayang. Aku memuja merayu seorang, lepaskan aku dari impian. Oh, aku tergoda, aku tergoda, terkecewa. Dari kerana mata yang mempunyai kuasa, oh, aku tergoda, aku tergoda, terkecewa. Dari kerana mata.
Dari Kerana Mata by R. Azmi. We're talking about music pre-independence and post-independence, that is when we were still called Malaya and we still had Singapore in our country. And it should be noted that when R. Azmi was making a name for himself, another composer, singer, musician were in the thick of things as well, and his name was P. Ramlee.
Yeah, P. Ramlee, P. Ramlee. What else haven't been said about P. Ramlee?
Music legacy and what he's left for the musical climate that we have today. He sort of kick-started this whole creativity trail for everyone else to pick up from.
Well, I think P. Ramlee what P. Ramlee, his biggest contribution was he established a sound, a tone, a style that we now call Malaysian music. Despite some people having the, oh, there's more Hindustani feel to it. But for me, besides the point, because again, like I mentioned earlier, he saw a gap where, and then he decided, okay, let's try something that is, to an extent, you can call ours, which he did. And I think that that was his biggest contribution apart from his films and music.
That's right. P. Ramlee, of course, born in March 1929. He's the son of a sailor from Aceh. And in 1947, when he moved to... Actually, he grew up in Penang. So in 1947, he won the first place in a song competition organized by Penang Radio. To his credit, he's got more than 360 songs. A lot of it was scores for movies that he directed. But he also worked with some other composers, his peers.
Yeah, he worked with the late Zubir Said, Kasim Mazdoor, a lot of other people. And then just for trivia's sake, he actually recorded an English song. I can't really remember the title, but that was the only song that English song that P. Ramlee recorded. I wish I can listen to that song, but yeah, that's something we'll discuss later.
Was it put out?
Yeah, it was featured in a film called, I can't remember, it's Tokyo something. So that was the only P. Ramlee English tune.
People at that time spoke a lot of English, more than now, I think. Why were someone at P. Ramlee, what do you think, why were they more inclined to sing in Malay?
Well, because it's simple. Because they are proud. You know, they said, okay, it's, they acknowledge the fact that that time, there's no such thing as, like, you know, when people do stuff, record music or write songs, commercial is not something that is in back their head. And then they just like, okay, it's a good tune, it's a good tune, regardless of the music. This is why. Why? Because when they grew up, they were listening to Hindustani music. I'm sure they don't understand the words.
Yes. Yeah. I feel that P. Ramlee's music have impacted a lot of songwriters that are around even today. And his penchant for melody, you know, how he manages to have many different facades to a song. It can sound sad and then uplifting. There are funny moments as well, and also a very upbeat songs as well.
Which reminds me, Eji from the band Hujan once said, because we were working on this tribute P. Ramlee project, and what AG did was to dissect all the songs written by, most of the songs that are written by P. Ramlee. And then he came to me one day and said, hey, do you know that despite P. Ramlee's music being, you know, when you listen to it, it sounded so simple, it's actually very complex. So I think for me, that alone is a sign that he's a genius.
Yeah, he is. There's so many trivias about P. Ramlee, and I've heard stories about how he would be in his studio working endlessly for days on end, without eating, without drinking, just smoking his cigarette and writing music on his piano.
Yeah, I mean, he's a perfectionist. You can tell from his work, you know, he's a perfectionist. And I believe he's also someone who's a bit, hard when it comes to like trusting other people, because he set a very high standard for himself and for people to actually be up to that level. So I bet it was a lonely world for him,
like. Being at the top. Okay, we're gonna check out this track by P. Ramlee. This is called Aziza from the 1955 movie Penarik Beca. You're listening to That Music Show, BFM 89.9.
Rambutmu keriting membikin pemuda sehari-hari menaruh cinta padamu. Oh Aziza, cantik rupamu, cantik rupamu. tergoda menjadi bimbang. Oh Adida, tidur malam terbayang teringat kamu seorang membikin hati pemuda menjadi bimbang. Oh Adida.
That music show on BFM 89.9. Today I'm talking to Adli Shahri Ramli, a music writer, on the music that my parents and quite possibly your parents were into in the 50s and the 60s. And this is, of course, as part of our Merdeka celebrations. And so we've heard music and history, bits of trivia about P. Ramli and R. Azmi, two great songwriters of their time. And now we move on to the 60s. And this wave of jangly pop sound that we know as Pop Ye Ye started to make its mark. The music and the fashion of the Beatles and other British rock and roll bands during the 60s were a very strong influence, apparently, to this style.
Yeah, I would say the band that actually kick-started this whole Pop Ye Ye craze was Sir Cliff Richard and the Shadows, because they came to Singapore in November 1961. So that whole thing triggered, I know, a generation of, you know, kugirans, you know, people who play guitars and stuff. So, yeah, and then came the Beatles. So, everything just like, you know, escalated into something big, which we know now as Pop Ye Ye.
Yeah, and apparently the term Pop Ye Ye was also taken from a line from the popular Beatles song, She Loves You.
Yeah, that it was taken from that song, but not until the 80s. Pop Ye Ye was used. Before that, it was just rock and roll.
Oh,
only
right.
In the 80s, when Pop Ye Ye had its first revival, so-called, the press back then decided to, okay, maybe we should call it Pop Ye Ye. So that's the origin of the word Pop Ye Ye.
I see. Mm. Some people call it Agogo as well, as evident in our Indonesian counterparts. Back then, they had this Pop Ye Ye Agogo band, an all-girl band called Dara Puspita, and Kus Bersaudara, and, you know, of course, these two bands were preceded by a group called the Tillman Brothers, that had measurable success in Holland.
Then there's also the Crazy Rockers, which is, you need to check out their music, or you can YouTube it. They are just out of this world. You know, seriously, they made a lot of bands nowadays look like seriously amateurs.
And the Crazy Rockers are from Indonesia.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, more on local Pop Ye Ye. The first local song in the Pop Ye Ye vein was a song called Susanna, sung by M. Osman in 1964. And this was during the height of the Pop Ye Ye craze. A lot of bands that were formed, actually at the time they were trying to mimic the Beatles and the Shadows. And it got down to even the look and the songwriting style as well.
Yeah, even like it's actually almost every single thing. But the good thing is, along the way, as there are a lot of creative people who are starting to play in a band, pick up instrument and stuff, so there were like a reaction where, you know, you have a lot of Beatles cover bands, and then okay, we have to come up with something original. So which also gave us a lot of more exciting bands who sounded not just like the Beatles, but bands like all the mainly American bands back then, yeah.
Rolling Stones, maybe?
Rolling Stone, a bit, but I would say it's more of the Beatlesque sound, so
okay.
Yeah.
The setup to a Pop Ye Ye band is normally a typical frontman backed up by two guitarists, a bassist and a drummer. And it wasn't until the 70s that bands of the time started to add on keyboards or percussionists per se, but it was always the staple four-piece.
Yeah, because the concept is simple. It's kugiran, kumpulan gitar rancak. So you have a vocalist, guitarist, bassist and drummer. So that is also something that was adopted from the garage or psych explosion overseas. And only when disco came in, you know, in late 70s or mid 70s, then only people start to add like keyboardies and stuff, and sound. The sound started to, I mean, lose the warm of live musicians.
This is an interesting look at our music in the 50s and the 60s, and we're talking about Pop Ye Ye music, and we're now going to check out what is known as the first Pop Ye Ye song ever written in Malaya at the time. Actually, Malaysia after 64, yeah, for Malaysia. And this one is called Susanna by M. Osman, Music Show, BFM 89.9.
Susanna, 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 Susanna.
That was Susanna by M. Osman, a pop yeah yeah track from 1964. And also looking back at the climate of the country at the time, before 63, Singapore was part of Malaysia. Mm-hmm. And a lot of bands were based in Singapore. Why weren't they in KL at the time?
Well, okay, if you look at it, pop yeah yeah scene was largely based in Singapore. KL became the hub only in 1971 when the scene started to die down. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, when the whole drama where, you know, P. Ramlee moved, shifted to KL and stuff. So that's when pop yeah somehow died. And that's when you have bands coming to Malaysia and stuff. Though during that time, there were also Malaysian bands who plays pop yeah yeah, but it's not as many as bands from who are based in Singapore. They are actually Malaysian, but based in Singapore just because the hub was there.
Bands of the time would be singing in either English or the Bawian language or the Javanese language or even Malay. So it's got a very clear Singaporean sort of bent to them. I think some bands that would be worth a mention is Rikino Bajuri done the Clifters, Jeffrey Dane done the Siglop 5, A. Ramli and the Hook, Kasim Selamat done the Swallows. So those are some of the big bands then.
Yeah. There were actually a lot more bands which either they had one hit single and then they disappear and stuff, which is exactly what happened overseas with bands during the psychedelic or beat or garage explosion. So I think again, just because I think they were based there, just because the hub the center of Malaya or Malaysia, Singapore music was there, was in Singapore.
And what's also interesting was that the bands would not normally stick behind one singer, so they could be seen backing different singers as well. I think illustrated where the Siglap 5 were backing Jeffrey Dane initially, and then they went on to back up M. Sharif. So
yeah, I think there were no proper research that was done, but there are possibility where what happened was when, let's say, a singer is backed up by this band, and then when a song became a hit, the singer said, okay, maybe I should go solo. So when the singer goes solo, the band is still there, and then so, hey, let's find another singer. So that could be it. Or it could also be where, you know, a singer can't afford a band, you know, to play in a band, so they just engage musician who they know can push their career forward.
We are going to check out another song. This one is very interesting. They play some good stuff. This is Mike and Herbs and the Silver String with the song Let 'Em Come. And Herbs and the Silver String on That Music Show this weekend. We're talking about Pop Ye Ye and pre-independence music. in Malaysia, Malaya at that time. And I think one interesting compilation came out featuring bands from not just Malaysia and Singapore, but also around the region. And the compilation was called Steam Kodok.
Yeah, it was called Steam Kodok, 26 go-go tunes from Southeast Asia or something. It was done. It was released by a small Dutch label called Grey Pass. I had a chat with the guy who did the compilation, MJ Koemans. So I did ask. I was curious because at that point I was wondering, hey, how come, you know, a small indie label in Holland can release something like this when, you know, we here in Malaysia, you know, are not doing anything about the music. So I decided to get in touch with the guy and ask him why. And then, so yeah, he said he's a fan, and now that he have access to the music, he said might as well do it and share it with others. So, which I think it's a cool thing to do, and which I wish was something that was done by us Malaysians.
Yeah, it's a shame that it's done by someone else. But don't you think the Dutch connection also relates to how bands were in Indonesia at the time as well?
Yeah. It's largely the Dutch connection in Indonesia was open a door, like a tunnel where a lot of music around this region were big over there in Holland. So maybe because of that, there are a lot of local vinyls or the music are being preserved over there. I don't know. I've never been, I never did any proper research on that.
But yeah. It's interesting in a way that the Steam Kodok compilation has a feel of the music that was made in the region. So you had bands from Thailand, you had bands from Vietnam as well, and where else? What other bands are there on there?
I know there's bands from China, from Thailand, Myanmar, Malaysia, Singapore, and then there's this I don't know, really far off guy called Fox. I think he's from Thailand, which is amazing. That's the thing, because if you ask me, one of the reason why Malaysian music especially has not progressed accordingly like overseas is because we never had our groundings. I mean, like, we never know what did our, you know, forefathers did musically and stuff. We are just like a momentary kind of generation, you know.
Yeah, and there's also no real sense of preserving and documenting our music from back then.
Well, there's nothing. To be honest, there's nothing. When I was writing, I was doing research on, okay, even the most simplest thing, what was the first record ever released by Malaysian artists, which I can't find. So it's really sad, because Malaysia, or during that time, Malaysian music were awesome. I mean, the creativity, the melodies, the lyrics, the fashion, the whole thing is not being documented. So it's just like something that you pass on to your grandchildren and stuff, which is very sad.
So it's wasted now for the younger generation.
Yeah, that's why if you don't know, they don't know. You can't blame them. You can't blame them, because there's no history. There's nothing where they can, you know, refer to, oh, this is that. There's nowhere.
Are you doing anything about it, Adli?
Well, I'm compiling the music, but yeah, again, someone with more power, be it money or time and stuff, should be doing this. It's our heritage.
That's right. We're going to play another song that's a pop yaya track as well. This is by Orchid Abdullah dan The Coasters with the song Carilah Ganti. And it's a different side of Orchid Abdullah.
Yeah, you should listen to this tune, because when I first listened to it, oh, are you serious? This was the late Datin Orchid Abdullah. I mean, she rocks, man. She rocks.
So let's check out this track, Carilah Ganti by Orchid Abdullah dan The Coasters.
Sudah mestinya hidup kita di dalam
So that's our short trip down memory lane with music in the 50s and the 60s. And we can say that the colonial influence made its imprint on our music at the time, because, you know, the Indonesian bands were singing in Dutch, and, you know, the Malaysian and Singaporean bands were also singing in either Bahasa, English. But one thing is, I think, that has always been there is the music style was always been rock and roll.
It has always been rock and roll, because I would say that time was, life was, you know, living life dangerously and stuff, which is, yeah.
Okay, thank you so much, Ali, for coming to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. Hope you guys enjoyed the music.
And yes, if you like some of the music that we played today, you can look it up online, actually. The Steam Kodok compilation is available for download. And the other stuff are on YouTube, hopefully. This has been That Music Show. I'm Ali Johan on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.